I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble, sponsored by Capital One. It's Capital One Cup special time.
Isn't it, chaps?
This is the first of a number of Capital One podcasts that we're going to be bringing you. We're only in round three, of course.
Yeah.
We're going to be right through the competition. My name's Marcus. Pete's here.
I'm here. Extra Ramble Pete. Hello.
Oh, just as good as normal Ramble Pete, we hope.
No, a little bit worse. a little bit tired.
Well, that's not possible.
Luke.
It's only fitting that when the big guns come into the Capital One Cup, the big guns come into the Capital One Cup.
He did the clicks. If you heard the clicks, you heard him do the clicks.
A professional studio, you should hear the clicks.
And one point. Jim.
Yeah, I'm here as well, and I agree with everything that's been said.
Great stuff. We are with Capital One, of course, proud sponsors of the Capital One Cup, the credit card that supports the supporters. Now, we are going to begin by saying, or me asking you, who is your standout player of round three? Luke.
Oh, me first?
Yes.
Wow, okay. I'm going to go for, and I thought about this in some detail, actually,
yeah.
And I'm going to go for Gary Hooper.
Ah, good choice.
Well, because Norwich have struggled this season, and they were 2-0 down against Watford.
They were. And a tricky place to go.
It is, yeah, absolutely, and Watford are going well in the Championship. So, Gary Hooper, who's had his problems with injury, suffered a bit of a setback in pre-season. I think he's a good player. I think he's a proper striker, and his two goals against Watford showed that. I mean, the first one was a really textbook near-post run header, which you like to see as a striker yourself, Marcus. You like
well, absolutely. The second one composed.
The winner was a great example of what strikers should be doing, and maybe what Norwich have been missing a little bit, playing off a shoulder, splitting the central defenders and going in on goal and slotting.
Little touch through the keeper's legs.
It was great stuff. I think, nice fact about Gary Hooper, I believe it's a fact, someone told me this today, that Gary Hooper's first three seasons at Celtic were more prolific than Henrik Larsson's first three seasons at Celtic.
Wow. And given 80 goals for them.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's 80 in about 120, 130 games.
I mean, that's a phenomenal record. I mean, people would immediately say, well, Rangers might not have been around for one of those seasons or something like that.
And I think Larsson did get an injury sort of halfway through his third season, I think. But it's still a stat worth talking
that's
about.
Incredible.
Because Larsson is such a legend there.
Yeah.
And so Hooper, really, if he can give Norwich what they've been missing and maybe replace Van Volswinkel up front and give him a bit of bite and a bit of physicality, there's no reason he can't break into the England team, because England aren't blessed with loads of strikers these days.
Yeah.
And he's only 25.
Yeah. Well, he's brought his goals to the Capital One Cup.
And he looked delighted as well.
Oh, he should.
But before we go in too much, that's your answer.
Yes, it is.
That's your answer. We're going to go Pete next.
I'm torn between Sami Amiobi and Danny Ings.
Yes.
Two of the most instinctive goals I think I've seen in a very long time from Danny Ings, and two of the loosest assists I've ever seen from a footballer, from Sami Amiobi.
That assist for the Cissé header was a beauty.
Yeah, great, it was cross. Lovely.
Really quick goal, wasn't it?
Gillespie-esque, it was. Yeah. Oh, so him. So him, basically.
Straightforward.
Oh, sorry. Is that all right?
Yeah, there
Is
you
that
go.
That improve things?
Yeah. There you go.
So can you do that after every point so we know it's finished?
Yeah. Okay, right.
Whether serious or flippant.
Jim.
I'm going to go from the same game that Luke's talking about and go for Josh Murphy. On his debut, came on as a sub when they were 2-0 down, scored an absolute screamer.
Didn't he just?
Which just, you know, began a comeback in a cup game from 2-0 down, which they won.
So
he's probably still just ecstatic now. He must be cartwheeling around his house.
There were loads of great goals in round three.
He cartwheeled home, and now he's cartwheeling around his house.
Yes. Marcus, still not even tired remotely.
Two things you always get in the Capital One Cup. You always get great results, big scores.
Yeah.
You always get good goals as well. And that was the same last season. Last season was such an entertaining competition.
There were some excellent performances in this round of the Cup. Lee Cattermole for Sunderland, bearing in mind at the time he's had.
Lovely assist.
He's fantastic. Oh, it was a lovely swinging cross. I'm sure we'll come on to it, but...
What's yours, Marcus?
Nicholas Bentner.
Oh. Good to see the big man back.
It's weird, isn't it?
Looking as he's looking.
Putting on an old jumper.
I like a couple, or several. A couple of things about him. One, I like the fact that he's very purposely chosen 23 this season. There's another one on his back. Secondly, he seems to have literally tried to disguise himself with a beard and long hair so English fans don't know who he is. It's almost like a very physical way of saying, let's start again, everyone. Yeah. I can be someone different.
I can be a chubby David Beckham.
Oh, he's in! Oh, and he's been tackled.
Great penalty from him, though.
It was.
A touch of that old Bentner arrogance, you know.
Would Arsenal have signed Ozil if I'd known that Bentner could assist
I think we all know they wouldn't. There's no need to bring it up.
Bentner thinks they wouldn't.
When he runs up that penalty, I think, bad posture.
Yeah.
He really does kind of... He's got a bit of a hunchback, hasn't he?
Scored.
Quite loose.
Yeah. Pete, who was your man?
I was drawn between Danny Ings or...
Sammy
Amiobi.
I'm afraid I think Luke's comes out on top of that.
Was it Sammy or Schola?
Sammy.
It was Sammy. Two assists, Sammy.
I win. Yes, good one. Nice one for me. Cup points for me.
There we go.
Schola scored his first goal for Nigeria last week.
Did he?
Yeah.
I missed that. That's great.
32 years young.
Yeah. Blimey.
Long time coming.
Let's go to the biggest tie of the round. It was Manchester United 1, Liverpool 0. Luis Suarez was back. Chicharito scored. Man United went through.
I did like Chicharito's goal, even though he did have a lot of time and space to do it.
He did, but he still had to right himself.
It.
Even though it was unmarked in the box, that came in at such a sort of height and speed that it was still a half chance.
It would smash me in the face.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't know what to do.
I'd have fallen over thinking about what it would have taken me to do that before I even
it would bounce up and get caught between my buttock cheeks.
That was definitely one of those balls where if it were me and I just happened to be in the penalty box from a previous corner or something, that I would have thought, oh God, and it had gone. And I go, oh,
yeah. You'd sort of wince a little bit.
Yeah.
You got off your elbow.
I probably would have flinched more likely to stop my boot on it. But
I'd have flung a shin out. Yeah. That's the best thing I could have done.
I would have flung a Shinji Kagawa.
I would have probably roofed it.
Yeah. Roof of the stand,
yeah.
It's summed up nicely by Stuart Smith on the Twitter, who says, yet another Javier Hernandez goal from inside the 6-yard box. He might as well bring a deck chair out of him every game. Yeah, I think it is a little bit harsh. Bit of a sort of
it's very lazy, that is, because he thinks that he just stands around in the same position all day. Nonsense.
No,
it's the movement. That's why he gets the goals.
I don't think he's saying that.
Yeah.
I think he's saying that he's prolific in that area.
A deck chair suggests that you're going to be in one position for a long time.
I enjoyed the game. I thought there was a reaction from Man United that was needed. It was a big game. And in fairness, Jamie Carragher pointed out in the coverage actually that it was a big game for Liverpool as well, given they were poor against Southampton. But Man United, they deserved the win. I mean, Liverpool were profligate. They had a lot of chances, couldn't take them, and you knew they'd have to take them in that period of play they had, and they couldn't do so. So, given they played a very strong team, it was probably quite a hard result for them to take, to be honest.
Yeah. Did Kagawa's performance send David Boyes message, do you reckon?
I don't think it did, to be honest.
Well, it did. Well,
I think it told him that he needs to be played through the centre.
Absolutely.
I just think there's no point in putting him anywhere else.
Completely agree. Player of that quality, to not only not play him for such a long time, I mean, we're almost in October now, and he's supposed to be working out his players. The words he said before the game about Kagawa were very strange. He said something like, oh, to be honest, I've not seen much of him. He's been on international duty a lot, but I've heard he's a good player. Well, that's not good enough.
That's crazy from your own manager.
Yeah.
And then to play him and then play him out of position.
Suggests he hasn't seen a lot of him.
You've got to play him through the middle. Sorry, Shinji, I know you're a centre-back, but just do me a job here, yeah? What?
What do you mean you're not a centre-back? Who are you?
It's very strange.
But Moyes enjoyed it, didn't he?
Jim? Oh, I bet he did.
Moyes enjoys.
He celebrated the goal quite enthusiastically. And I think for him, that result perhaps comes as quite a relief, especially to beat Liverpool.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, they really do need a big result. And that'll do, won't it, really, in light of recent events for United?
I felt it's because Aidan on the Twitter asked any opinions on Nani for United, given how poor Young and Valencia have been.
I thought Nani played well.
Yeah, I did as well. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Wilfried Zaha.
There's a good point.
To my knowledge, he's perfectly fit and ready to play.
Yeah, why is he not?
If he's not getting a nod in the home league cup game,
it's very strange.
Cup to one cup game.
And when he's been on the field, he's been more than passable for me, I thought.
He should be playing, I think.
Yeah.
He should really be playing.
Yeah, a couple of encouraging moments for England and a couple of the games and whatnot. So why isn't he not?
Do you think he's not? Do you think there's just some sort of personality clash, or he's not a David Moyes type player?
I mean, the thing is, one doesn't know what goes on at the training ground and whatnot. Mm.
I think after such a long time of David Moyes being in charge of Everton, we don't know what an ideal David Moyes player is, because he's never had the funds to buy an entire team of them.
Well, and also, if David Moyes plays Zaha against Liverpool in a cup game, then. And it doesn't work out. And if Zaha doesn't play that well, people go, what on earth is the new manager doing?
Yeah. And of course, Moyes needs a decent win, so he can't really take any risk. It was a very, very strong team he put up.
Yeah.
I don't really think, given, as Aidan said, you know, how Valencia and Young especially is performing, so I don't see it as a risk to play Zaha. I mean, he can't be any worse than Young. Young doesn't contribute anything when he's having a poor game.
That's right.
He's got a low run of confidence, as we said earlier this week. And Zaha's worthy of the slot. I do believe that.
Well, there we are. Well, and what about Luis Suarez? We're going to give him a mensch.
Yeah,
a little mensch.
He tore around the pitch. It was a very competitive game. Actually,
He looked fitter. I mean, some people said his touch was slightly lacking, but I mean,
I thought his pace on a couple of foot races, I thought he came off second best. He committed a proper foul, and the referee didn't blow for it on the touchline. It was incredible.
That touch he had up from the ball over the top, it just got away from him. Yeah. That was such a nice touch.
He was very unlucky.
Very unlucky there,
he got there before the keeper.
Yeah, he played the ball. Yeah,
it was well played by the
I mean, let's make it clear that Luis Suarez off form is still an incredible footballer.
Yeah, because I saw two different sets of highlights of that particular incident.
Did Manchester United
and in each case, the commentator said, "Oh, you know, a sharper Suarez probably would have cushioned that and scored from there." It's like, hang on, that's an incredibly difficult thing to do.
Of course,
he wouldn't necessarily have done that.
A sharper Suarez against Newcastle United, as I recall, would have done something.
Sometimes players are very harshly judged on what they sometimes do. You know, they're held up as having to constantly be at their best.
Yeah, that is very true, isn't it? If you smash in a free kick from 30 yards, the top corner.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can do it every single
time.
That's
to be applauded, not to be expected.
But, he piled up pressure on himself. You know, he did what he did at the end of the season, and, he wanted that move. He would have been under the same, under the same microscope if he moved to a different club anyway, because he'd be sort of saying, can he reproduce? Mm. Just like Suarez, Torres did when he moved clubs. Can he reproduce the sort of form that he played for Liverpool?
There we are. But Manchester United advance in the Capital One Cup. So do Arsenal.
Yeah.
Tricky tie away to West Brom. It was 1-1. They won 4-3 on penalties. As we said, Nicholas Bender was back in the side, and he laid one on for Thomas Eisfeld. A lovely little goal.
It was. It's interesting as well, because Thomas Eisfeld, there's quite a bit of excitement about him around the club generally, but he had a quiet game other than the goal. He seems to just score constantly in pre-season, then sort of just, dip back into the youth team, as so often happens. So it's good that he's managed to take his chance. Obviously, he still needs still got some way to go, but it's good to get a glimpse of him getting some proper competitive action, really.
I liked the chance to see him play a bit. I mean, he's 20 now, so he needs to really be moving on and featuring a bit more. They sort of poached him from Dortmund, didn't they, originally? Mm. He does look a good player. I agree with Jim, though. He wasn't completely, that impressive, but he took his goal very well, which is important for a player who's not played that often. For him to be confident enough to take that first touch and that finish was really nice to see. Mm.
Yeah, what about Naby?
Gnabry,
sorry. Forgive me.
Gnabry, I don't think I've ever seen anyone so tired step up to take a penalty. Yeah,
he played the week last week as well, didn't he?
He just looked absolutely shattered, and he missed, bless him. But yeah, again, I mean, I don't, there's more to come from Gnabry, but I think he had quite a difficult game. But West Brom are no mugs. They know what they're doing.
It was Fabianski and Morrison. I thought, God, they've been practising their penalties, and then it all went to rubbish at the end of
Morrison,
the penalty
show. Yeah, but that was a beauty.
Two excellent penalties.
Some of those penalties were magnificent.
Yeah. Stephen Reid as well.
Yeah.
Hit one.
Monreal's was a very good penalty.
Yeah. Mm. That was the winning penalty, wasn't it?
It was.
But Berahino scored for...
That marking was poor.
It was, but the assist from Shane Long was brilliant, just sort of dinking it up and then volleying it over in the box.
But Berahino came into the area, no one picked him up, ball came over, didn't go anywhere near him, still no one picked him up, Shane Long did the business, came over to him, he headed it, no one was anywhere near him. I counted that... he was in the box without being marked for 15 seconds. That's too long. Mm. That is way too long.
I'm just thinking, should there be a rule about that, like in basketball?
Yeah, yeah.
You can only stay in the box for a...
Alarm goes off.
Yeah. Gary Lineker's thinking, I'm glad I got out of the game when it is.
But, I mean, Arsenal's side was fairly youthful, and for them to come back from really the brink of going out on penalties to turn it around is actually very encouraging.
And actually have them all take penalties pretty much as well, which is good. Mm. Good to see.
Yeah, I'm impressed with Gnabry for actually stepping up to do it, because I presume he, you know... perhaps put himself forward, I don't know, but he did look so tired. Well done.
It was a funny run up. It was quite slow, wasn't it? It was just kind of
For a very young man after 120 minutes, he's entitled to be.
Yeah. If he'd scored, obviously he'd still be cartwheeling. That's what you do.
If you're, all your other matches are, you know, on a crappy Schofield from the corner, pretty much. I'm not, you know, but you know when you say like these training matches or the under 20s matches or something, they're always just the pitches are always a bit terrible. The pace isn't there. I can imagine playing in the Capital One Cup and being like, oh my God, I'm exhausted just watching
this is big boy football.
There'll be a little bit of a different feel to it if you're playing against a team for another division, but these are all Premier League encounters. And given that Gnabry played a full game at the weekend as well, he wasn't expected to play, was he? He came in late on. So yeah, he must have been absolutely shattered, as you say.
Well, they advanced Arsenal. That was the main thing from their point of view. And so did Newcastle United in the big United derby against Leeds.
I love that goof Frank got.
I tell you what, before though, Ross McCormack nearly scored what would have been for me the goal of the round.
It was Albert-esque.
Oh,
wasn't it?
It was brilliant. What a chip from 25, 30
yards out. It was just
so louche.
There was a lot of loucheness on show in that match. It was just kind of, he stroked it beautifully, like a chip shot in golf or something. And it just sort of, even I was like, I should have scored. I kind of wish he'd scored that.
As a Newcastle fan, you'd have been happy to concede something.
But it was a good performance, I thought. I really was quite underwhelmed by Leeds, because they always raise the game against Premier League opposition because they genuinely believe that they should be in the top flight of football. But I would want to have seen a little bit more from Leeds if I was a
nice header from CC.
Yeah, bullet.
And Sammy Abiyabi with his first assist of the evening.
First of the evening, and also it was Cissé's first goal of the season as
That's
well.
That's right.
Yeah. He needs that as well. That's
first all round.
Yeah. I'm not sure Sammy Amiobi should get an assist for the Gouffran goal, but it was all Gouffran, really.
He got the last touch before he put it away.
It was world class.
Oh, he set himself up, one of those ones.
Yeah, it was world class.
It was super.
He just gave himself a bit of room and just leathered it.
Yeah.
Leathered it.
It's very encouraging for Newcastle, that win, because as you say, they're against decent opposition, but they made it look fairly straightforward, didn't they?
I couldn't tell from the feed that I was watching that who did the flick to lay up Obertown for a finish at the very end.
It was probably Sammy Amiobi.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not going to last very much longer anyway, because we've got Man City in the next round. So
elsewhere in the cup, Birmingham City beat Swansea 3-1. From the Championship,
they truly beat them as well.
The holders held them down
and slapped them around a bit.
Holders have gone.
I was pretty pleased about that, because
it's any man's cup.
Last season was in the Capital One Cup was known for having sort of lower ranked teams in the latter stages.
Bradford City,
and we've not seen that as much this year. Bradford, of course, most famously, and now Birmingham flying the flag for the Championship teams against Swansea. Swansea probably just had a few too many games in a short space of time. They found it difficult, didn't they? They did have a fair few chances, though. I mean, it could have been a different story, but fair play to Birmingham. We started off quite badly this season. Is a real fillip for them. But, I mean, we've seen... I know we didn't do a show for round two, but in round two, Peterborough of League One beat Reading of a Championship 6-0.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, you do get some great results. Yeah. I mean, we talked about it last time. You do get some great results in this competition, you know.
I think their man is the top scorer in the competition so far.
Right, okay.
He was suspended, wasn't he? No, he was out, wasn't he, for the Sunderland match?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
So it's surprising that Swansea have gone so early. Mm. Slightly disappointing to see.
It will be disappointing for them, given that how much they enjoyed it last year.
Yeah, very much so. But great win for Birmingham City. Tranmere couldn't represent the lower leagues like Birmingham will be doing. I say lower leagues. But Stoke City went there, another professional job. Stephen Ireland getting the opener. And Peter Crouch with a lovely little one, wasn't it?
Time warp coming on.
He could score 150 of them, and he'll still not be known as a guy who scores those type of goals.
You're saying he's got a good touch.
Yeah, I think he has got a very, very good touch.
Very retro talking about this Stoke game. Stephen Ireland, Peter Crouch having a good touch for a big man. What's going on?
Stephen Ireland is
John Aldridge up front for Tranmere.
If only.
Stephen Ireland, his best football of his career was under Hughes at City.
That's right.
So if he can really kickstart his season, because I know he's not been starting games, if he can kickstart his season, that'll be really good to see, because he can be a really good player.
Yeah.
We all know that.
I mean, he was excellent in that season under Hughes, 12 yeah.
for City. He was their player of the season.
Yeah, he was magnificent. It's incredible the drop-off he's had.
Well,
it's great to see him get back to that
level. Good to see
him
scoring. So Stoke, Stoke go through. And so does Spurs, quite emphatically, at Aston Villa. The team from Birmingham was so close to the final last year, and dumped out by Spurs. Jermaine Defoe had a lovely old time.
He had a great time.
That assist from Holtby for that first Defoe.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to see Defoe celebrate with him, because that was he made that goal, and Defoe did his usual, ran off on his own. That, disappointing to
Holtby,
see.
Holtby a la Xavi.
It was great. It really was. Villa were poor, though. I mean, the goalkeeper especially was dreadful. What he was playing out for a couple of those
would
goals.
It be fair to say
neither
that
did Jermaine Defoe. He couldn't believe his
would
luck.
It be fair? I mean, beaten 4-0 at home. Would you say it's safe to say that they got their pants pulled down?
Badoof.
Literally rude. They literally got their pants pulled down.
Come on. A man got his puffer shorts pulled down. Yeah. We can see his underwear.
Was it a penalty?
No penalty given.
It should have been a penalty.
Pants.
I think the referee was just so confused to what to give the penalty for that it just too long had gone on. It would have been embarrassing to take it back. Is it unsporting conduct?
Yeah, you could see the ref go, is that a lap? I've never come across that before.
Was it a hellenious crime?
Very much.
Hey? Yeah.
Hey?
Not too bad, was it?
Yeah, very good.
Okay, I'll just quit. Well,
no, it was good. It was good.
Vertonghen, though. Dear, oh dear. Dirty play. I don't know what I'm going on about. Yeah. Paulinho and Chadli. Chadli scored his first for Spurs.
A lot of debutant scorers.
The feeling Paulinho is going to become a really important player for Spurs. Mm. He's up and running. He scored an important goal last week.
Yeah.
Scored another one today.
How important is Defoe? I mean, obviously they made a big money signing bringing in Soldado. But Defoe, when he plays, he tends to score.
It comes down to, I mean, Soldado would be first choice, obviously. But it comes down to how happy Defoe is to play that sort of role. If he is, he'll score goals and Spurs will be much better off for it. I get the feeling in January he'll want to go. I get the feeling he may move somewhere, which would be mental, but he may move somewhere like QPR or something.
He'll go to Arsenal and fulfil the same role. That'd be amazing.
Oi, will you be able to sleep at night knowing that Bent has been pushed further down the pecking order?
Bent will be able to sleep at night?
Definitely not.
It'll look
anyway.
Even worse, wouldn't it?
If I was a Villa fan at that performance, I'd be thinking, right, we've got Man City at the weekend and they scored 5 against Wigan. Yeah. I'm a little bit worried.
A tired Wigan. Like, that was like playing the ghost of Wigan.
Judging by the state of Bent, he's currently sleeping under a bridge anyway.
Yeah,
so.
That's it. Well, City did beat Wigan 5-0, and a few more debutant goals, Jovetic and Jesus Navas.
Jovetic's second was a lovely touch to actually dink it in.
Yeah, he's kind of made up a little bit more for his first, because that was kind of bundled in.
Yeah,
and a classy player like him. Yeah, I'm not having that. No, talking off.
Yeah.
You'll be embarrassed.
That goal was beneath me.
But I'll take it. Yaya Toure scoring a lovely free kick.
And Jesus Navas just not messing about with his finish. That's how it's done.
Yeah. Dzeko's got on the end of a nice pass as well.
It was Wigan's third game in 5 days, and you could tell they were just like, oh, God.
The shape for the opening goal from Dzeko, it was a lovely shape, you know, flat. All you want, everything you want, all four players in the line, and then but they weren't anywhere near Dzeko, which is the problem. and they were quite slow as well, so it was a bit of a nightmare.
They will be going away from that game thinking, oh, we're quite happy with 5 to me.
In the time lag in their collective heads, they were right on Dzeko, I would imagine.
Well, I think he sprung the trap so well, they probably all just turned around and went, well done, mate.
Yeah. Did anyone even put an arm on? I can't remember.
Sometimes you have to hold your hands.
Didn't even need a curve his run, just straight through.
Yeah.
See ya.
He knows what he's doing.
If you zoomed in closely on him, as he was slotting it, he was actually smoking a pipe and saying, so that's why you were relegated.
If you look at the footage back from the Toure free kick, the entire Wigan wall are actually yawning. They're trying to suck the ball in a collective yawn.
Well, yeah. So
another fantastic free kick as well.
It's fairly routine for City, wasn't it? I mean, they just breezed through it. They foamed it in.
Yeah,
it's so easy for them.
Wigan did have a lot of like debutants that day. But
none of them scored.
None of them.
Which is not in the spirit of the cup, quite clearly, on this round, certainly. But they join their quiet neighbours in the next round.
Round two, Norwich 6, Bury 3. Take a leaf out of that book.
Talking of teams doing professional jobs, Chelsea did one at Swindon. 2-0.
Oh, I actually thought that was a bit of a... I mean, it sounds crazy because they went through and they won, and Swindon have got a great home record in general, but I actually thought it was a bit of a bad night at the office for Chelsea.
I don't think it was great. I
mean, it's a strong side as well.
For the following reasons. One, because Van Hinkel was injured.
Oh, that's gutting. Out for the season and we'll miss the World Cup.
Yeah, and he's obviously Mourinho's a fan of his.
That's a the worst time that can happen to a player when they've just joined a club, because it's quite rare that they ever properly recover from
that. It's a bit of an odd situation because for a couple of reasons. One, because it was a nasty twist. And it looked bad, and he sort of got up, sort of hobbled off, then came back on again, and didn't get subbed off again for maybe a couple of minutes from memory, which isn't going to have helped matters. Then secondly, Ramirez came on, scored, and went off injured himself, and I think he might be out for at least for the weekend.
He scored a nice goal.
He did score a nice goal. Yeah, it was a good finish. Yeah, it was a nice bit of work from Torres.
But Torres played well.
He did play well. He was a bright spot. The other sort of bad points for Chelsea were Mata was very average, I thought. He looks like a player who's had his confidence stripped away.
Possibly because he's had his confidence stripped away.
And secondly, Willian was absolutely dreadful.
That open goal he missed, pretty much.
Spurs fans everywhere rejoicing. If they had got Willian, they wouldn't have got Eriksen. They dodged a massive bullet there.
Well, hang on, you can't base it on one performance.
Well, I can and I have.
Torres slams it against the keeper, I think it was. It comes out to him and all he had to do was just pass it into the net.
He had two. One he flew over the bar, the other one he scuffed at a defender.
Really bad. Get the debutant goal memo, obviously.
No, he didn't.
Which so many people did. Another all Premier League tie was Fulham 2, Everton 1. Everton slightly sloppy. They had a few chances to win it. They went 1-0 up with Naismith. Berbatov, though, he got his first goal of the season. Not a debutant goal, but the first of the season.
Well, Fulham have been such bad form recently. It's a really important win for them.
My goodness, I think that's their first win at home since April. Obviously, they don't play in the summer.
And given their away form is so bad, they need to win games at home massively.
They really do. I mean, Darren Bent came on and scored slightly.
It was a lovely goal, that.
I thought it was slightly fortuitous.
Just banana through the goalkeeper's legs. It was just like, I'm going to smash this and it'll probably go in. And it did. Lovely. That's how I would play.
Yeah, we've talked about
Fulham.
We've talked about Fulham a number of times. Yeah, on the Football Ramble. So yes, a much needed win for them and a confidence booster, surely.
I was very impressed by what I saw of Gerard Deulofeu.
He was brilliant.
Everton's
the dink for the first goal. Oh, yeah, lovely,
brilliant. He's on loan from Barcelona, obviously, and they do that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a coup, isn't it?
They have certainly made a coup there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Other Premier League tie that happened in round three of the cup was West Ham 3, Cardiff 2. Mm. 20 seconds into the game, Ravel Morrison scored again.
Mm. I was delighted for him because I liked the way he took the goal and I liked the way he celebrated. It looked like it meant a lot to him. He ran over to celebrate with his teammates. It wasn't a case of him making it all about him. From what I've heard, his attitude's been spot on recently, and as we said before, as Gary Neville said, he can be the player whatever he wants to be because he's so talented.
He just looks happy, doesn't he? Looks like he's got a team around him that are just facilitating him enjoying his football,
which is great to see. And I'll tell you something, you know why Big Sam loves Ricardo Vaste so much, because that was a really important win from him.
Going
from a team like Man United, it's such an intimidating setup to break into. And no disrespect to West Ham, but it's a more kind of almost
perhaps more achievable
warmer club, I suppose, in a way, because they're all fighting to do as well as they can. There's not that pressure of having to win stuff. It's like, let's do well.
I think also
that must be a bit more positive.
I think the thing that's sort of underplayed a little bit in professional football at the top level is that some players like him, and then we talk about Thomas Eisfeld earlier, I mean, he's 20 now. Mm-hmm. You know, someone like Alex Pritchard, who I think is around that age as well.
Got to be playing football.
He's on loan at Swindon. When he sees Spurs sign all those players, or when Ravel Morrison sees Man United sign all those players, does he think there's any light at the end of the tunnel at all? He just thinks, am I ever going to get into this team? Mm. And that's going to facilitate him maybe going off the rails if he's that type of character. He needs to actually be playing games, and the way that big clubs hoover up all these players can't really be healthy for them or for the game, because they're not breaking through.
I think most of these players have been in professional football since they've been 8 years old. You know what I mean? They want to play at the top level. They want to play matches professionally. They're denied so frequently, being stuck in the youth setup or whatever.
That's right. We should probably
mention Craig Noon's goal, by the way.
Well, I was going to say that was the goal of the game for me, for Cardiff, of course. Absolute beauty. Cardiff made it 2-0, but Vaste got the winner and West Ham march on. We mentioned Lee Cattermole playing well for Sunderland. They obviously beat Peterborough 2-0, and Giaccarini with a lovely opening goal, and so a good win for them as well. Players, managerless Sunderland,
both of those players scored. They're both sort of under the Canio's reign. It must have been
It looks like Gus Poyet's in the frame for Sunderland. He's the favourite, apparently.
Yeah, that's who knows.
Who knows indeed.
The rumours are rife, but we've got to go in slightly more depth with Watford 2 Norwich 3, because Acuna and Ferroni scored. Love lovely goals to put the Hornets 2-0 up. But Norwich and Hooper came roaring back with, as I say, Josh Murphy earlier, and then Hooper scored in the fifth minute of stoppage time.
Yeah.
I mean, that is gutting for Watford, isn't it?
I mean, given they've gone 2-0 up at home.
You work so hard against a Premier League club.
I'll tell you why that's such an important game, is because Chris Hughton's going to start to come under pressure. I mean, they've made signings, they've backed him. Mm. He's not started the season well. They go to the Britannia at the weekend, I think, which is a very tough game for them. Yeah. This is a massive result for them. When they went 2-0 down, you really feared for him. You know, yeah. Gary Hooper's really bailed him out of jail there.
That's it, that's it. And the few other games that were played were Southampton 2, Bristol City 0. Gaston Ramirez, I thought, has got a lovely little volley.
Yeah, that's a bit of a funny one, because they've got such a lot of sort of attacking options going at Southampton. And Ramirez has not really featured. I don't think he started a game this season.
Right,
he might have started one in the League Cup, but he's not started one in the Premier League.
Well, he gives Pochettino something to think about there. Hull 1, Huddersfield 0. One of the not so... more exciting games of the round, but you know, the win's a win's a win.
Still a goal
in the pot.
That's right, and it's quite good to see Leicester City and Burnley advance as well. Burnley beating Forest 2-1, and Leicester beating Derby 2-1.
Anthony Knockhair has got a beauty.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? And Drinkwater's great name and beautiful backheel.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it was a lovely
backheeled volley.
Yeah.
Apparently.
It was. It was just glanced in. Yeah. We needed the win.
Yeah.
To have that.
I'll pull that out of my locker for you. It's what I do.
And of course, Danny Ings scoring the goals for Burnley. And round four, we have Sunderland, Southampton, Leicester City versus Fulham, Birmingham versus Stoke, Manchester United versus Norwich City, Burnley versus West Ham, Arsenal versus Chelsea, and Spurs versus Hull. So some all Premier League ties in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Birmingham at home at Stoke, you know, real chance for a championship club to go quite far in the competition.
Yes, agreed. And those games are being played on the 29th and 30th of October, aren't they?
29th and 30th of October. Yeah. And obviously we'll be back around that time to talk about said games.
We'll do a preview show on Monday the 28th then.
All right then, let's do that.
Marvellous stuff. Well, indeed, that is the end of the Football Ramble, sponsored by Capital One, proud sponsors of the Capital One Cup and the credit card that supports the supporters. So, yes, Luke.
For further information, you should go to www.facebook.com/Capital One UK.
Indeed, you should. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you at the end of October.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.